Kateres daf shkalim daf yud bet or the top of yud bet of an aleph halacha dalad numishna makdish nichasa vahiyu behen dvarim ruin lekorbanot natzibur yinatnu leumanin bescharan divrei Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva shita is that if someone says all of my property is now hekdish and there are things that are fit to be brought as communal offerings, they should be given to the workers of the Beit Hamikdash as their payment. Amar lo ben Azai. So you can't do that. You have to take the money for the umnin out from them, and then transfer their kedusha onto those objects, and then, or rather, transfer the kedusha of those objects onto the money, and then give the objects to the workers, and then you pay the workers for those objects from the Truma Chadasha, but you can't just give them the object. So someone consecrated their property, and there was an animal fit to be brought to the Mizbeach, male and female, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Zachari Yimachru Letzarche Olot, Vinikevot Yimachru Letzarche Zivche Shlamim. So the male should be sold for the purposes of needs for the Ola offering, and the females for the Shlamim offering. Udmein Yiplu Imshar Nechasa Levedekabai, and the rest of his money should go to the money and the rest of his property should go to the Vedekabait. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Zacharim Atzman Yikrivu Olot, that no, the male offerings can just be brought as a korban olo and a kevo yimachro tzarche zivche shlamim yavid vein olot. That the female animals are sold and then their money are brought as olot. Vishar nechasim yiplo bet kabayit. The rest of his possessions go to the bet kabayit. Amar Rabbi Kiva Ruani Diver Rabbi Lezer Min Diver Rabbi Yeshua Rabbi Lezer Hishva Midotav Rabbi Yeshua Chilek. So Rabbi Kiva says Rabbi Lezer's Shita makes more sense to me than Rabbi Yeshua, because Rabbi Yeshua is mechalek between male animals and female animals, what can be brought and what needs to be sold. And he says, I don't see a svara to mechalek there. Rather, they should you know, both be sold off and their money used for different korbanot. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda's Shita makes more sense to me. Amar Rabbi Papia Shemati et Divrei Shnehen. I really see the svara for both of the shitas as Rav Papias. Hamakdish beferush kedivrei Rabbi Eliezer v'hamakdish stam kedivrei Rabbi Yeshua. Someone who explicitly is makdish the animals should Rabbi Eliezer's shita makes sense that they should both be sold, and the money should be brought for their respective korbanot. But if someone is makdish without specifying these animals individually, then Rabbi Yeshua's shita makes more sense. Makdish nechasav v'hayu behen tvarim ru'uyin legabim mizbech. Someone made his property consecrated, and there was something fit to be brought on the mizbech. Yanu shmanim v'ofot, like wine and oil and birds that could all be brought as korbanot, or all be brought put on the mizbech. Rabbi Lezer Omer yimachul tzorche ota hamin v'yavid mehen olot v'shar nechasim yiplu l'berekabai. So he says they need to be sold, and the money should be used for the korban that their type of thing is brought as, right? So you can't, right? So if you're selling the wine, that money needs to be used for the libations for the mikdash. You can't sell the wine and then use that money to buy something else. V'yavi b'dmei olot, right? And then and so you have to bring the money should be used for a korban ola by the min of what you brought, meaning associated with what you just sold off. The rest of his possessions go to the Benekabayit, the Gemara. Hamakdish, the Korban Tzibor. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ketoret. Rabbi Yochanan says, what is this talking about, where you consecrate something and it's fit for the Korban Tzibor, and then you sell it off? That is the Ketoret. That's what it's a reference to, the Ketoret. Someone has Ketoret in his home and is Makdish it, right? We saw this previously, that Rabbi Yochanan believes that this Mishnah, we referenced it ahead of time, that Rabbi Yochanan believes this Mishnah is a reference to Ketoret. Amar Rabbi Hoshia Tiftor Be'uman Shel Beit Avitina Shayan Notel Bischaro Ketoret. So let's interpret this Mishnah as referring to someone from the house of Avitinas who makes the Ketoret, was Makdish his property, and that's why it's fit to be brought as a Ketoret, because if it wasn't made by someone who was making it Davka for the Ketoret, rather than just making it for his own purposes, seemingly we'd have to assume that we wouldn't be allowed to use it as Ketoret. My time at the Ben Azai, what's Ben Azai's Svara? She'in Hekdish Mitchal al Hamalacha, Ela al Hameot. So this svara to say that you can't just give them the property, you have to be mechalel it, and then you give them the money, and then you give them the objects, and then they pay back for the objects with money from the shekel. So Ben Azai's svara to say that you can't do that is because you can't be mechalel hekdesh on hekdesh, right? Because he said, let's take hekdesh money, and let's take hekdesh items that were just consecrated, and be mechalel the hekdesh money onto the hekdesh items, but they're already hekdesh, right? So you can't do that, according to Ben Azai. Taman tanina yesh bekotche bedekabayit shestam hekdesh at lebedekabayit hekdesh bedekabayit chal al hakol mu'alin begidulehen ve'en behen hanaya lekonim. Okay, so there are things that are true for the bedekabayit that aren't true for the things that are made hekdesh for the bedekabayit that aren't true for the things that are sent to the mizbeach, right? So what are those things? Those things are that if you don't specify where you want your possessions to go, they go to the Bedekabayit. And that the Kedusha of the Bedekabayit can fall on anything. And not only is it Me'ila to use those things now, but if they have produce from them, it's Me'ila to use the products of it. And the Kohanim don't get benefit from it, right? It goes strictly for the upkeep of the Beit HaMikdash. Amar Rabbi Chananya, the Rabbi Eliezer, he is clearly the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Detaninan hamakdish nechasa vaita behen behema ruuya gabi mizbeach zecharim ben kevot. Rabbi Eliezer, omer zecharim b'machlot zorche olor, ben kevri b'machlot zorche zevach shlomim d'me niplu yimshar nechasim l'berek habayit. Because Rabbi Eliezer holds, as we saw, that if someone consecrates his property and there was something that was fit to be brought on the mizbeach, male or female, so the males are sold off for the purposes of Olot and the females are sold off for the purposes of the Shlomim, and the money of it and the rest of their possessions go to the Bedek HaBayit. So we can see very clearly that if you didn't specify where you want those animals to go, they're going to the Bedek HaBayit, right? As we just asserted, that a non-specified consecration goes to the Bedek HaBayit. Am Rabbi Yochanan Tamed Rabbi Eliezer Ve'ish Ki Yakdish Et Beito Kodesh L'Hashem B'ma'an Rav Kaimin. So how does Rabbi Eliezer know this to be true, or what's the source for his Shita? Because it says, if a man consecrates his house to be holy to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So what exactly do we assume this pasuk is talking about? Yibei Dira. If we're talking about his actual house, like the actual structure of his home, Kvar Ktivim Makdish Yigal Beito. It already wrote about the concept of being makdish and then redeeming your home. You can't be referring to that structure itself. Rather, when we say your home, we mean your property. That's what we're talking about. Kodesh Hashem. It says Kodesh Hashem. And because it's Kodesh Hashem and not for the Kohanim and not for any other purpose, it's Kodesh Hashem. We assume that goes to the Bedek HaBayit, because the Bedek HaBayit is what the Kohanim have no hand in, and it just goes to the temple upkeep. Amar Rabbi Zeira Rav Chuna b'shem Rav b'ma pligin. What's behind the machloket of Rabbi Zeira and Rav Chuna? Sorry, read the wrong names. What's behind the machloket of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah? B'makdish nechasav, right? So we're talking about a situation where someone consecrates his possessions. Avol makdish edro kol amamodai shul mizbeach. Everyone agrees that if you say about your flock that it's kodesh, that it's going to the mizbeach, right? It's going to be slaughtered. If you say about all of your possessions that they're holy, and you don't specify what, you know, for what purpose, then there's a machloket whether they go to the Bedek HaBayit or whether they're sacrificed. However, if your makdish, your flock, like animals, literally, then everyone agrees that they go to the Mizbeach. Rabbi Ba Rav Chuna b'shem Rav. But here we have a machloket about what the machloket's about. Ma pligin, rather, what is the machloket in the mission about makdish edro? No, the machloket pertains to the animals, right? That they're arguing over what happens to the animals. However, if we're talking about possessions, well, obviously possessions aren't going to the Mizbeach, right? So the possessions should go to the Bedek HaBayit, right? The only machloket exists by the animals, right? So here we have a machloket about between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua as to what goes to the Bedek HaBayit and what goes to the Mizbeach. And then we have a machloket as to whether or not this applies only to when you're consecrating property, but everyone agrees that your flock would go to the Mizbeach, or does this apply only to your flock, but everyone agrees that your property goes to the Bedek HaBayit. Al date the Rabbi Zeira Nicha, makes sense according to Rabbi Zeira's explanation. Vakasha al the Rabbi Ba, but Rabbi Ba's explanation is difficult. behema lo lemizbeachi? Why do we not assume that if someone's consecrating an animal, he means to bring it? He means to say that it's for the mizbeach. It seems strange that our default would be to assume that we're sending our animals to the bedek abayit. Behema lo mizbeachi v'lama stam ha'ish hazeh shehu keomer lo hiye ela bedek abayit. Of course, that we generally an animal is fit to go to the mizbeach. However, we have to ask why this person isn't saying mizbeach. Right? Seemingly, he's not saying mizbeach because he doesn't want it to go to the mizbeach. So it's like we're reading into the fact that he's not specifying. Where he's not kind of associating with the animal the normal function of or the normal procedure of donating an animal, we assume that he's not saying that, even though that's normal to say, because he doesn't want it to go there. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lo Shanya Hi Hamakdish Nechasav Hi Hamakdish Edro Hi Hamachloket, and Rabbi Yochanan says actually a third shita here that they're arguing about both of them. It's not that they agree in one or they argue in the other. They're arguing about both of them. Rav Huna b'shem Rav Rabbi Abahu b'shem Rabbi Yochanan kach bedek abayit shepodin tamimin yatzul chulin. Okay, so if you have things that are hektish for the bedek abayit, or the animals that are hektish for the bedek abayit, and then you want to redeem them, so you pay opposite their value. If there are animals that are fit to be brought on the Mizbeach right now, you may assume that they're so far designated to be korbanot, they can never just be normal animals again. So even if you redeem them, you can't use those animals for anything else. However, this shita here that we're quoting says that no, even if they're fit to be brought on the Mizbeach because they're unblemished animals that are in the Berech Abayit, if you pay opposite them, they go to Chulin, and they can be used for all purposes now. Matnitin Amraken, and our Mishnah seems to indicate this, Vladan v'chalavan mutar lachar pidyonan, right, so their offspring, their milk, are mutar after they're redeemed, they can be, you're allowed to use them. Rav Chizki b'shem Rav Chizda tipata shepadan tmimin v'humimu. And Rav Chizki says, kind of rejects that and says, well, just let's assume that our mission is talking about a case where they were redeemed when they were still fit for the Mizbeach, but then they developed a blemish. And once they developed a blemish, then we're allowed to take benefit from their offspring and their milk. Rabbi Yosef b'shem Rav Chizda matznita amraken vladan v'chalvan asur lachar pidyonon. Right? And so Rabbi Yosef said in the name of Rav Chizda that our Mishnah in fact indicates this is the case where we're talking about only after it's blemished, but before it's blemished it can't be used, because the Mishnah taught that originally taught that the offspring and the milk is going to be asur after you redeem it. And only after that it goes on to teach a case where they will be mutter. So presumably the first case is talking about where they're unblemished, and the second case is talking about where they are blemished. Rabbi Chizkiya b'shem Rabbi Yosa kach bedek abayit shepadon tmimin yatzul chulin. Right? So we said that the animals that were designated for the bedek abayit, if they are still unblemished when they're redeemed, they apparently go to chulin, and they can be used for all purposes. Ein tamar lo yatzul chulin, because if you want to say that they're not, they don't go to chulin, and they still retain some sense of kedusha. Ha'ech kotche mizbeach chalin al kotche bedek abayit. How exactly do you transfer the kedusha of the mizbeach? How exactly do you transfer kedusha mizbeach onto kedusha bedek abayit? Meaning, you can something that was designated from the bedek abayit, you can then transfer it to be brought on the mizbeach, right, as a korban, right? But that's its own kedusha. So if you want to say that if you redeem something from the bedek abayit, it still retains kedusha, we know that in kedushin chalal kedushin, right? If something's already holy, you can't make it a different type of holy. In which case, we must assume that it's no longer holy once it's redeemed from the bedek abayit, and now we can repurpose it for the sake of the mizbeach. Ba'alei mumin. Now the answer that we're talking about, ba'alei mumin, that become chulin, because they become permissible for all use, and a new kedusha can fall on them. Kachem mizbeach chala alehen. Right, so that the kachem mizbeach should go on them because they're damaged. Laida mila legiza v'la avoda. Sorry, I read that a little bit wrong. Ba'alei mumin. Okay, so when it comes to that which we said by animals that they need to be blemished before they can have the kedushat mizbeach on them, we were only talking about the kedushat mizbeach. We're only talking about rabbinic kedushat mizbeach, right? And only for the purposes of shearing them or for working them, but not for bringing them as a korban. Because on a Torah level, we still consider them to be kodesh, not designated for the kedushat mizbeach. So we asked, it must be that the must be that these animals are unconsecrated and fully redeemed from the Bedek Habayit, and that's why they have Kedushat Mizbeach on them. We answer is that it's only Kedushat Mizbeach on a Derabanan level and for the purposes of shearing or working them. However, they do not attain the full status of a Kedushat Mizbeach such that we can bring them on the Mizbeach because they were never fully redeemed. They retained their Kedusha. If you designated a female for your Korban Ola, your Pesach, or your Asham, Ose, which they can't be, by the way, Ose Tamura, right? You can still make a Tamura out of it. Now, a Tamura is a very interesting case, right? Tamura is where you designate one animal as a korban and you decide, you know, I really like that animal. I want to designate the second animal instead, right? In its place. So, actually, that's usser. You can't do that. You can't you can't switch the kedusha of your animal. And as a knas, as a product of this, both animals are now kodesh. But presumably, in order to, now, it works, but it's usser. Right? So what does it mean that it works? It works because both animals are now kodesh. Right? The second one, even though you didn't designate it independently, you just said that the kedusha of one should be on the other. Right? So it works. Right? The second one is now kodesh, but it's also aser. You're not allowed to do that. But for it to work, presumably the first one has to be kodesh, right? Because you're only transferring the kedusha from something. Right? So the question here of whether it can become Tamura is whether it's Kodesh enough in the first place. Because if you designated a female animal for a Korban that it's not supposed to be brought as, then maybe you'd assume that it's not Kodesh enough to then do Tamura upon it. Rabbi Shimon Omer lo lato se Tamura. So Rabbi Shimon says, not by all of them it works. For an Ola, it works. There's a Tamura on it because it's holy enough to then transfer to something else. However, for an Asham, it doesn't attain the status of Kedusha by your words enough to then do a Tamura of it because you didn't designate it for the right Korban. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Omer Mishum, Rabbi Shimon, none of them do Tamura. You designated the wrong type of animal for that Korban. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Tamad, Rabbi Shimon, Jekin Matzin, Rekeva, Be'ov, Kshera, Lavo, Ola. What's Rabbi Shimon's Zvara? Because at least by an Ola, there's female birds can be brought. So it's not entirely outside the ballpark. It's not like you designated a female animal for something it could never be brought as, because as long as it's a bird, it can be brought. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Tama de Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. So what's Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda's Shita? Or what's the Svara for a Shita? Im b'min b'mino chaluk alav kol shekein b'min b'sheinu mino. Meaning, we already know that within an animal's own, within the same type of animal, there are things that make it fit and things that make it unfit. And the things that make it unfit are not kodesh. So, of course, if you brought the wrong type of animal, we're going to say that it's unfit. Ezu min b'mino shul chaluk alav. Now, what's the case of min b'mino, of the same type of animal that doesn't work because it's unfit? If the korban requires a korban asham of something in its, of an animal in its first year, and you brought something in its second year, or vice versa, it doesn't work, right? So it's the same exact type of animal. It's just a matter of years, and we say that doesn't work, right? So kasher ela shelo alu lebalim shem chova. Meaning it's a kosher korban, but it doesn't work to execute your responsibility, right? So kol atzman inam kedoshim. The reason it doesn't work is because we don't consider these animals to be kodesh on a goof level. We don't consider that the actual goof of the animal to have been made kodesh by your appointment of the wrong animal for the korban, meaning of an animal that is too old or too young. So for that reason, because even within the same exact animal, we're going to say that it doesn't work. So kal v'chomer if you brought the wrong animal, we're going to say it doesn't work. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yeshua, Shneim Amar Davar Chad. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yeshua said the same thing, said the same idea. Kama Rabbi Yeshua, Amar Nekeva La'ula Lo Kadcha Ela Hekdesh Damim. Just like Rabbi Yeshua says that the female animal is not considered kodesh, it's not considered intrinsically kodesh once it's designated for the wrong korban. Rather, it's considered to have a monetary kedusha significance. Ken Rabbi Shimon Amar. That's Rabbi Shimon says the same. Nekeva Leola Lo Kacha Elak Hektesh Damim. Right. We should just see this as monetary kedusha. Meaning the goof of the korban isn't kodesh. Rather, its monetary equivalent is now has a status of kedusha. In Temar Kedusha Kedusha Taguf Yiru. Right. Because if you want to say that it was kedusha taguf, that the actual physical entity is now kodesh, and not just that you have a commitment to the monetary value of the animal, then it should really be sent off to graze until it develops a blemish. Doesn't make sense to assume that we could just sell it. Amar Rabbi, ain ani roa divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Pesach. Rabbi Shimon ben Pesach. I don't understand. I don't really see Rabbi Shimon svara when it comes to the Korban Pesach Shemotar Pesach Bashlamim, right? Because if you want to say that Rabbi Shimon says you can't, if a female is designated as a Korban Pesach, it can't be brought. Because it's just not relevant enough. But what happens if you leave over a Korban Pesach? Well, it becomes a Shlomim, and a female can be brought as a Shlomim. So that's enough shaykhut between the female and the Pesach that it should have worked. Right. Well, maybe you should also say that you don't see Rabbi Shimon's shita by an asham, because why should an asham not work? The excess of an asham comes as an ola, and a female bird can be brought as an ola. Amar Rabbi Avin, im higdish pesach ba shlamim, gufo karav shlamim. Im higdish asham ba ola, in gufo karav ola. Right, because when it comes, if you made it into the big difference between the pesach coming as a shlamim and the asham coming as an ola, is that if you made this animal into a Korban Pesach and it's not brought as a Korban Pesach, it will be brought as a Shlamim. However, if you made this specific animal into an Asham and it can't be brought as an Asham, this animal won't be brought as an Ola, because only female birds can be brought as an Ola. It puts it in the same general category, but this animal can never, will never be brought as an Ola, right? So there's a very, very big difference, because the goof of the animal, of the female non-bird animal, can be brought as a Shlomim. In some cases, it can never be brought as an Asham. It can never be brought as an Ola in any case, because it's not a bird. Ma plige, what's their machloket about? What's behind their machloket? Hahein amar hektish damim hektish, vehein amar hektish gufo hektish. Right. So one considers hektish to be only that which is designated on a goof level, only that which its actual body, the body of the animal, is considered kodesh. And one says as long as it has monetary kodesh kedushat significance, then it's going to be hektish. Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Tamed Rabbi Yeshua. So the svara for Rabbi Yeshua is like this: Daver el Aron ve'el banav ve'el kol bnei Yisrael v'marta lehem ish ish mibeit Yisrael asher yakriv l'Hashem lola. Speak to Aaron and his sons. Says that anyone who from Israel who brings a korban to Hashem hakol karev as an ola hakol karev ula. Ola, right? So from this general pasuk about bringing a korban to God as an ola, we assume that the stam korbanot are considered an ola, l'ratzon chem tamim zachar, and it needs to be an unblemished male animal. Minayin afilu in a kevot, and from where do we know that even female animals can be brought as an ola, tamad lomar, babakar, l'ravet in a kevot? From sense of the fact that it says, from the cattle, that come the cattle also includes in a kevot. In which case, we have a source also to include the female animals here. So why does Rabbi Yeshua seem to believe from our Mishnah that regardless of whether it's a male or a female animal, it should be sold for the purposes of the olot sacrifices? Because apparently stam, unspecified animals, go to are brought as a korban ola, whether they're a male or a female. Rabbi Yitzchak bei Rabbi Eliezer had a question about this lima that we just did, k'tiv zachar. First of all, it says explicitly male. V'atamat babakar l'rabat ha'nekeva, and then you want to say babakar to include the female? It specifically says male, and then so presumably we should assume that bakar is also talking about male. According to your svara, you should say the following as well. K'tiv tamim, v'atamad babakar, l'arvot ba'alei mumin. Right? So the korban, it says explicitly, needs to be unblemished. And then it says babakar. And bakar can be an inclusive term for both blemished and unblemished. So even though it explicitly says unblemished, I should assume that babakar comes to include unblemished as well. Ma benehon, what's the difference between those two shitas? The second one, obviously, you would say is false, because it can only be an unblemished animal, but it's the same svara that you brought in to include a female animal. Rav Amar Shivda de chad kedah benehen. The shed stick is between them, right? So there's a lot of difference between them. It's huge, huge difference between them, right? Bakar is a male and female term. Right? Bakar is a term referring to animals that is both male and female, right? In which case, if I'm using that ambiguous term, I can apply it to both male and female. However, bakar is not specifically referencing a blemished or unblemished animal. I have no reference to the fact that an unblemished animal could be brought. Bakar is a good reference to the fact that a female animal could be brought, since I use the non-specific term. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yimachru Hamin. So it needs to be sold for the purpose of the same type of korban or type of offering that it is. Rabbi Abahu b'shem b'shimon min Lakish tamad Rabbi Elazar daber alan rel banav asher yakrivu l'Hashem le'ola hakol karev ola. So okay, so the sheet of Rabbi Elazar comes from this pasuk, the same pasuk that we said, speak to Aaron and his sons that when all of Klal Yisrael brings a korban, akol karev ola, right, that all stam korbanot are brought as an ola, l'ritzonchem tamid zachar, and it needs to be an unblemished male animal. And then we said this, yachol afilo ofot. Now you may assume that even ofot could be brought. You may assume that even birds can be brought as olot. If you didn't specify what you wanted to bring, tamalobo bakar v'lo ba'ofo. So then, so we learn from the pasuk babakar that it's davka bakar olot are offered and not of olot. So clearly, only animal olot may be brought, and bird olot are just completely not included here in the factor. In which case, you're never gonna have a case where a female ola is brought because birds are the only ones they could bring. But the birds are not brought in unspecified korbanot. Rabbi Yirmiyahu, Rabbi Bun Bar Chia, Havun Yativun VeAmrin. Taman Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tamed Rabbi Shimon, Shekein Nekeva Shebeof Ksher Lavo Ola. VeCha Amar Hachin. Didn't we initially established Rabbi Yirmiyahu and Rabbi Bun Bar Chia established that because olot, even though female olot are not brought in this instance because they are fit to be brought as olot in the case of the birds. So for that purpose, they should be included in the category of something that could be brought as a korban. Here we're saying that the birds should be sold off because they can't be offered. If you have female birds that can generally be brought as an ola, they can't be offered here. But that's difficult because based on what we initially established, the birds are fit enough to be brought as an ola, that they should be, that they should have a status of kedushat haguf, right? That you can't just sell easily. Certainly you can't bring it because, according to this shita, you can't actually bring a bird offering as a korban ola if it's unspecified. But nonetheless, because it's included, because birds are fit to be brought, even though in this case we can't bring it, it should certainly attain a certain degree of, you know, kedushat haguf, let's say. Right? So it's difficult that we seem to not attribute any level of kedushat haguf. Amar Rabbi Yosi kamaita keha da Amar Rabbi Shmuel b'shem Rabbi Zeira kol shen yechol likarev lohi velo dameha lo kacha ela hekdesh damim. Ve'at amart, sorry, back up a step. Translate that. I see his shita as Rabbi Elazar's shita is being consistent with the shita of Shmuel in the name of Rabbi Zeira. How so? Because he says that anything that if you made it, if you were makdish it, it cannot be brought, should be considered as if it's not kodesh, not its guf, and not its damim. It's not, you're not at a monetary level either, right? And so v'adamar you, now what you say is, makes sense. La krivo in ad yachol dechtiva v'kar v'lo ba'ofot lifdodan in ad yachol she'en lofot pidyon, right? So you can't bring it as a korban because it says babakar you bring as a stam ola but not ofot lifdota oyen ta yachol she'en lofot pidyon, and you can't be pode because you can't redeem birds lefum gein tzarech memar lo kacha ela gdushat damim. Sorry, one more time, we're establishing this shita in accordance with that which Rabbi Shmuel said in the name of Rabbi Zeira, which is that anything that, even though it would normally be kedushat haguf, if it can't be offered on the mizbeach, and its monetary equivalent cannot be offered, then we do not treat this animal as kedushat haguf. We only treat it as kedushat mamon. Right? In which case, our case of the bird that you designated, that in theory should be kedushat haguf because you can bring a bird as an ola, but in this specific case, you cannot bring a bird as an ola, so it cannot be brought, and it can't be redeemed, so its money can't be brought, in which case, it's stuck in this as monetary kedusha only. And that's what explains why the bird has only monetary kedusha and not kedusha haguf. Even though it's fit to be brought as an ola, generally it's not in this case, and it cannot be redeemed. In which case, it's stuck with monetary kedusha, as is consistent with Rabbi Shmuel in the name of Rabbi Zeira. We'll stop here.